important pickups and utilities. Ford expressing disappointment in the move, saying a strike could have wide-ranging consequences for their business and for the entire economy.
Indeed. Jan Howard owns a meat shop in Lambertville, Michigan. Many of her customers are car union members.
If they're used to buying steaks, they would go down to Hamburg and hot dogs and pork chops. You can eat very economically on chicken and pork.
On the Weather Watch, waiting for a weakening but still threatening Hurricane Lee in New England, and on New York's Long Island, where Don Clavin is the Hempstead Town Supervisor.
Within the next 48 hours, the remnants of the storm Lee, they're going to have some effects in this region.
A much more dangerous storm has caused catastrophic death, injury, and damage in the North African nation of Libya.
It's not like they didn't see it coming. It had already caused widespread destruction when it swept through Greece and Turkey. It just didn't look as if the Libyans had a game plan to evacuate or warn the residents.
CBS News correspondent Charlie Daggett, the estimated death toll in Libya now above 11,000, some 10,000 others still listed as missing. Damages awarded to a same-sex couple from Kentucky. They sued a now former official when she refused to issue them a marriage license.
A federal jury in Ashland, Kentucky awarded the two men $50,000 each in their suit against Kim Davis. She was the clerk of Rowan County, who was jailed by a federal judge for 5 days in 2015 when she refused his order to give same-sex couples marriage licenses. She said she was acting under God's authority, a position that prompted some conservative politicians to travel to Kentucky to support her. Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
Well, on the recommendation of a Justice Department special counsel, a federal grand jury in Delaware has indicted the son of the president, Hunter Biden, on firearms charges, including lying on his gun purchase application. Asian markets are closing higher. U.S. market futures are up too. Dow futures up about 80. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Meet Bruce.
Hey there.
He's a busy soccer dad who's trying hard to learn the game.
Go for the end zone!
Whoops. Luckily, other things come easy, like banking with Chase. On a tip from his banker, he set up AutoSave in the Chase mobile app. So what are you saving for, Bruce?
Father-daughter soccer camp.
Smart bankers, convenient tools, one bank with the power of both. Visit chase.com/checking. Chase, make more of what's yours.
AutoSave requires a Chase checking and savings account. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, NA member FDIC.
This is Camp Classic. For fans of Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunchy Bars, the OG granola bar that started it all. Crunch into the real honey and whole grain oats in every single bite. Nature Valley.
Purchase new wiper blades from O'Reilly Auto Parts today and we'll install them for free. See better and drive safer with O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director James and head of production Seth will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists, in their own words.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows level off around 54 overnight under mainly clear skies, southerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 74. Cloudy skies. Overcast skies tomorrow night. Chance for scattered storms. Lows level off around 53. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 57.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Braun.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. Well, it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, here's your host, Kristen Braun.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry. Jane Matinere is on the board. We are having fun today on this pretty beautiful Thursday.
It is. It's
beautiful,
gorgeous.
Beautiful fall day. It's not too hot, not too cold. We're very excited about it. Just the, we've got a lot of text still from the first hour of people with thoughts on, people are fired up. I love when people are fired up.
Me too.
And I think Greg Bach said that yesterday, of trying to keep track of the conversations that were happening across social media with all of the politics in happening in Wisconsin right now. And I actually got a text from our friend CJ Safer, who is on the other side of the aisle.
Yep.
But we love talking to him because we love having those conversations. He sent me a text last night. He's like, man, you're going on maternity leave right when things are getting good, huh?
You'll be checking in, though.
I will certainly be checking in. And so, but it is Thursday, so it is time to check in for our weekly segment, Public Cervix Announcement, with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. How are you today, friend?
I'm good. I'm checking in from Austin Straubel Field at the Green Bay Airport on my way out of town to go take care of some lovely women in Arizona.
So back to Arizona. Has it cooled off there?
It's cool. It's, you know, highs in the mid-80s, lows in the mid-50s.
So cool for Arizona.
I'm really looking cool for Arizona. I mean, it's northern Arizona, so it's different than Phoenix.
Fair. So back on the road, but breaking news this morning that I have not actually gotten to dive into yet, but it sounds like you have a lot more information than I do as far as the big news of Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin deciding to resume abortion care and abortion services in Madison and Milwaukee. So what can you tell us about that?
I think that says it all.
Yeah.
Pretty straightforward. We don't think that this 1849 law has ever actually been enforceable, but the criminal penalties are scary. Mm-hmm. They're preventing doctors from providing care. They're preventing people from seeking care. And it's been, frankly, horrific for women in Wisconsin. But now we are going back to providing care only in Madison and Milwaukee. So there will be one clinic open in each of the biggest cities in our state. Sheboygan is not ready for prime time yet. And, you know, that's really it. So this is a game changer in Wisconsin. We will have abortion services as soon as Monday in Madison and Milwaukee. But the rest of the state still lacks access.
And to be fair, that is what the situation was besides Sheboygan. Even before the overturn of Roe and the Dobbs decision came down, there was only three locations in Wisconsin that, at least for Planned Parenthood, where you could get access to abortion care, correct?
There were only three locations in Wisconsin for anybody.
Yeah,
there
exactly.
Were two clinics,
so it's
in Milwaukee, one in Sheboygan, one in Sheboygan. So yeah, I mean, the vast majority of Wisconsin did not have access before, and I think it's important. Despite, like, this is really good news, and it's going to be a game changer for so many people. But it does not solve our fundamental problem, which is most Wisconsinites do not have access to abortion care, to full spectrum reproductive care in Wisconsin.
And so that is a great point to keep hammering home. And I know you're a doctor, not a lawyer, but kind of when this news broke in the last hour and we touched on it for a second without getting to read much about it, I have to imagine that, you know, like you said, there was before, so much of this has been about risk, like whether it's what the law had said in Wisconsin, but the same thing that was when it was the civil suit in Texas that said, like, any person can sue you for $10,000 for aiding and abetting anyone trying to seek an abortion. It's like, who's willing to risk that without knowing the legal ramifications? And so basically, has, from what you understand, is it that enough has happened with the Wisconsin challenge to the 1849 abortion case that lawyers are now looking at this saying it is worth, we think that the risk is low enough legally, and there is too much to be gained by once again offering these services that it is worth making this decision?
Yes. Okay. And that stems from Judge Schlipper's, she hasn't issued a final ruling yet, but she has definitely telegraphed that her interpretation of this case is that this 1849 law does not apply to consensual abortion. It actually applies to feticide. So that means that we should be able to provide and receive abortion care in Wisconsin.
Which, wow, that was not expected. I texted a friend who works for Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin while we were at commercial, and I go, holy crap. He goes, yeah, this was a hard one to sit on. This was a hard one to keep a secret. And so I'm going to try to get Tanya Atkinson, president of Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, on tomorrow so we can talk more about that. But I know for you, because as you've said, as we've talked to you when you're in Arizona and you've been in Minnesota, and, you know, I think this is fair to say, but one of the reasons you've been traveling so much is because you couldn't practice in Wisconsin. It was too, talking about risk, like, it was too risky for you to be able to do the thing that you have dedicated your life doing, which is providing care to women and to pregnant women. And this has to be a huge relief for you right now that you get to be home.
I haven't even had time to think about it because it's all just happened. Bang, bang, bang. I mean, like I said, I'm at the airport and I got a text from, I am one of these providers. So I got a text from the medical director, just explaining the scheduling and when we're going to start and some odds and ends. And I didn't realize the press release was coming out because, you know, like your friend at Planned Parenthood said, this has been brewing. Yeah. We've been planning for this because, you know, you have to staff up and you have to be prepared so that you can provide quality care. This isn't just about, you know, providing any care. It's about providing quality care and making sure that patients are very well taken care of, heart, body, mind, soul, the whole spiel. So, I haven't had time to think about it, but there's going to be a moment, I think, maybe when I'm on the plane where it kind of hits.
Well, we will. This will be, like I said, we're going to talk more about this and understand more of what it means, but at least it is a step forward that you don't have to leave the entire state, at least for some women in and around the Milwaukee-Madison area. Obviously, as you said, Dr. Lyerly, it's still a huge gap for a lot of people across the state, especially places where there is a desert of care and providers when it comes to women's health. But it's still a win for today. So we're very excited about that. But I also don't want to totally abandon what we were going to talk about today, because I think that is also very important. You found this article as far as, and it kind of ties into women's health, because I think, at least what I know about it, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, when we talk about maternal mortality rates and how unbelievably high they are, considering where we stand on the global scale of countries, but also women's pain in general, sometimes people of color, and who gets listened to and who doesn't by their doctors. And sometimes you hear these stories that bubble up that people get really sick. Sometimes they even die because their doctors weren't listening to them. And how often, I mean, we hear the stories about it, but do you feel like this happens more often than is it more often or less often than it feels like when it comes to what we read in the news?
It's really hard for me to know. I guess our listeners would probably know much better than me. I'm always thinking, am I sharing information that my patient is understanding? Because sometimes it requires a lot of explanation, and you don't know what someone's level of understanding of their own body is. And, you know, patients don't want to disappoint their doctors, so they're nodding their heads. And, you know, I try to check for understanding, but I don't know if they're really going to walk away feeling like they were well counseled and that they're taking that home and they can actually use the information that we've talked about. And, you know, another thing is, medications. Like, there are so many times medications are expensive that I will recommend a test or a drug, and my patient will leave and they won't follow through on picking that thing up or getting that test done because it's just too expensive or it's too cumbersome to get it. So I always wonder, and I try to make sure before I say goodbye, I try to make sure that I say, you know, are you satisfied with our visit today? Is there anything else I can do to help? But sometimes we are just limited by the time that we have to spend with our patients. So I'm always wondering, and when I saw this article, I thought to myself, yes, I want my patients to be empowered and to make sure they walk into every visit with their doctors and they're ready and they've got the information they need and they leave feeling like that was effective, that was worthwhile.
And so with there's six different things that this is an article from Time that had said six things to do if your doctor isn't listening to you. And so I thought we could just kind of go through, let's get to the first one before the break right now. But as far as what you specifically think is really useful for patients to know when they're going into their doctor, whether it's their general practitioner, whether it's their OB, whether it's I'm contemplating getting surgery. So as far as this first one, spend time preparing for every appointment. Is that something that you feel like really patients should take heed on?
I think that is the one thing you have total control over.
Okay.
And it's okay for you to write it down. Like, what are the things that I'm worried about? What are the things that I want to make sure that we accomplish? If you write it down and you practice it, you say it out loud, the only way that you can communicate effectively is if you are clear and you're efficient in the way that you are getting that message across in that very short time period. So practice what you want to say and know what you want to get out of the visit before you even walk into the doctor's office.
And what's an example of that, just as far as before we go to the break, but as like, what does that look like to practice, or what does it look like to be that clear? Like, is there specific language that is more effective? Or because I think sometimes the patient, you think, well, you're the expert. Like, I don't know. So could you give an example?
Right. Yeah, I think especially in gynecology, sometimes I'll see people who think like maybe they're having pelvic pain, or pain with intercourse is actually pretty common. And I think people are afraid to talk about it. So they'll come in and they'll say something doesn't seem quite right. And they're not ready to actually define the problem. But they want you to take a look and just make sure that everything looks normal. But things can look normal, but still feel very wrong. So it's really helpful if you're having pain with intercourse to be able to describe, when does it happen? What else is going on? What are the other signs and symptoms? Are you taking other medications? How's your relationship? There's so many other components that factor into what's going on while you're having sex.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we'll get to the other parts on this list that you really think people should take to heart. Dr. Kristen Lierley is with us for public service announcement, and this is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Oh, yeah.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, along with Jane Matinair on the board, and we are doing our weekly public service announcement with Dr. Kristen Lierley, talking about an article from Time that said the six things you should do if you feel like your doctor is not listening to you. And the first one on the list was prepare for your every appointment. Know what you're going to talk about, practice what you want to say, know what you want to get out of it. And so with the 8 minutes that we have left, Dr. Lierley, what else from this article really stood out to you that you think more people should know about?
Hey, all of these points are important.
Okay.
But I think really being vulnerable, not being afraid to say exactly what you want. Classically, it's that hand on the door, like right before your doctor is ready to walk out, that you are comfortable enough to share that deeply held information. Don't be afraid. get it out right away, be vulnerable, and that will help us solve your problem. Also, ask specific questions and don't be afraid to ask for clarification. There is no stupid question when it comes to your healthcare. Another really helpful thing is take somebody with you. An advocate who comes with you will hear things that you don't hear and may ask questions on your behalf that you don't think of asking. So just having that extra pair of ears and taking notes, that can be an incredibly helpful asset as you're reviewing what the plan of action is and where you go from there. And then I think the other big thing is be relentless. If you don't have a satisfying experience, then tell your doctor what you need to make it satisfying. I'm not understanding what you're saying, or this medication is not going to work for me. Can we try something different? You deserve to be able to walk away from your visit having your problem solved, or at least being on the road to getting it solved. And the only way you can do it is if you can advocate for yourself.
And then at what point would you say is time to maybe find a different doctor? If you feel like you've done these different things and you're still not being heard, what is kind of the point where you're like, well, maybe this is just not the right fit. We don't communicate well with each other.
Exactly what you're saying. If you've got that gut feeling like this is just not working, I don't think she hears me, or the solutions that she's coming up with are not going to work for me. Every doctor is not the same. Every patient is not the same. And if that mojo isn't there, then find somebody else. I never would discourage my patients from getting a second opinion. I don't know everything. Mm-hmm. I'm a person. So if there is something else, that something you feel, like, for example, hormone therapy for menopause, I don't offer alternative medications, but there are alternative medications out there that really work well for people. I'll send you to somebody else who does offer those things. I want you to have the care that you need and deserve.
Dr. Lally, I wonder sometimes, though, if women are like, if I switch doctors, I better hurt her feelings.
It's like hairstylists. It's like, will they know? Will they know I stopped going to get my haircut?
I think that happens. But I mean, definitely people feel that way, and doctors feel that way. Like, was I not doing a good job? But, you know, ultimately, we have to set our egos aside mm-hmm. and focus on the problem at hand, which is, this is about healthcare. This is about you, not about hurting somebody's feelings. We can set it aside.
That is a good point. That's like a very specifically female question.
It is.
I just don't want to hurt their feelings.
Exactly.
I will suck it up because
she's going to feel bad, and I don't want her to feel bad.
Well, this is really good.
You're right.
Yeah. It's just our plight in life. Well, this is really good, and I think it's probably something that doesn't get talked about, because I feel like the running joke sometimes is, you know, how much you tell your doctor you drink when they ask versus how much you actually drink. Uh-huh. And there's this gap sometimes with the embarrassment of how honest we want to be with our doctors. Like you said, being vulnerable, asking follow-up questions, and not being afraid to sound stupid. Like, certain human emotional reactions that we have up in our conversations with ordinary people in our lives, that like the conversation needs to be different when it comes to your healthcare and when it comes to your doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to advocate for yourself. This is like a business transaction. Your doctor is not your friend. Your doctor is there to serve you and to help you solve a problem. So approach it that way, and don't worry about your doctor's feelings. They are there to help you.
And your dentist isn't mad at you because you don't floss twice a day, right? That too?
Oh, I don't believe that for a minute.
No, I think they get mad.
Why would they get mad, though? Because then it just means more business for them. If they're, it's like a mechanic.
It's about your gums, Kristen. It's about the gums.
Oh, all right. Well, the last thing, we only have 2 minutes left, Dr. Lyerly, but I found this, as someone who is the first person to do a Walgreens or CVS haul at the first sign of being sick and being congested and just wanting anything to help me make myself feel better, the FDA this week basically said all of your Sudafed, all of that stuff that claims it'll clear you up, doesn't work. Did this surprise you when this came out?
Oh, no. They've been talking about this forever. Phenylephrine, to be very clear, it's phenylephrine, and it's taken orally. It's in, 250 different medications?
Yeah.
Phenylephrine doesn't work when it's taken orally. The other Sudafed, the pseudoephedrine, the stuff that they put behind the counter, that actually does work. So there are things that you can do. I would say for the time being, I know we're short on time, just if you look at the box and it says phenylephrine, don't buy it. You can use the phenylephrine nasal spray.
Okay.
You can use Afrin, the oxymetazoline nasal spray, but those sprays you don't want to use for more than 3 days because you can get kind of addicted to it. You can have this reflexive congestion. You don't want that. So you can use those medication nasal sprays for up to 3 days. You can use a neti pot. You can use a saline nasal spray. You can use the pseudoephedrine. You have to go behind the counter to get it, but it does work. And then, of course, if you've got an underlying condition like an allergy, you want to treat it with an allergy-related medication like an antihistamine or a nasal steroid spray.
Okay, so the message is don't waste your money on Mucinex and oral, you know, some of these other things that they claim that they're going to clear you up, because they're not. So save your money. Dr. Lyerly, we have to let you go. I hope you have a very safe flight and can't wait to have you back more often in the state of Wisconsin after that breaking news from Planned Parenthood. We appreciate you so much.
Oh, girl, I'm thrilled. Be safe out there.
All right. We'll be back with Chris Drosner, the Beer Baron, right after this. How do you feel about pumpkin beer? Let us know. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Just say if it's too late for me.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
A new head coach.
We got one objective, one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin is back home to face Georgia Southern. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
I'm Captain Ann Maxson with the Wisconsin State Patrol. Safety on our highways is a team effort. Every day, our troopers and inspectors focus on keeping people and commerce moving safely. Drivers can do their part to prevent crashes and needless tragedies by remembering two simple things. Buckle up, phones down. Thanks for helping us move towards zero deaths on Wisconsin roads.
A safety message, sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veterans guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swollen. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows level off around 54 overnight under mainly clear skies, southerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 74. Cloudy skies. Overcast skies tomorrow night. Chance for scattered storms. Lows level off around 53. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 57.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And it's that time of month that we take a break from our sports updates on Thursdays to talk to Wisconsin's very own beer baron, Chris Drosner, to get a beer update. And Chris, we're happy to have you, but I'm very excited about this topic because I feel like it's a little controversial. How are you doing?
Oh, boy. I'm doing great. How are you, Kristen?
I'm good. I'm 13 days away from giving birth, so we're just hanging in there.
Holy smokes. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's drink a little beer for you by, by proxy?
By proxy. Yeah. Some pumpkin beer by proxy. All right. So you brought this up yesterday as we were talking about what is the local and latest beer news, and that we, you know, despite the fact that over Labor Day weekend it was 95 degrees, it is starting to feel like fall, which means pumpkin spice lattes back in Starbucks, back in Dunkin' Donuts. People who love their pumpkin love their pumpkin, and that does not preclude it from also being included in beer.
Yeah, I think pumpkin beer probably was like one of the emblems of like the pumpkin spice everything that kind of peaked. I think it peaked probably a few years ago, but yeah, I mean, it's something that actually works. I mean, spice beers are relatively common, and mostly when you're talking about pumpkin beers, you're talking about pumpkin spice. I mean, that's mm-hmm. the thing that really drives it. Typically you're going to find it on kind of a malty ale. And you know, some of them are actually brewed with pumpkin, but that's a pretty mild flavor. It's a little vegetal, I guess. But it doesn't have a whole lot of flavor.
No.
Like, I don't know. Nobody's making pumpkin pies without all the spices, right?
So, nope.
And the trick with these beers is definitely balancing that, you know, the different mix of spices. We talk about pumpkin spice, but there's nutmeg, there's cinnamon, there's allspice, there's clove, there's all those things are kind of in balance. So, you know, there's a lot of ways to kind of come at it. And I think the way you balance the spices within the spices and then that overall spiciness against the you know, malt or kind of the rest of the beer is really important to how good they are.
But, that's such a good point, I mean, as far as when we mistake pumpkin spice for pumpkin. I kind of think the same thing when I talk about like grape yeah. flavoring versus what grapes actually taste like very different, not yeah, the same thing.
Right. Totally. Yeah. And these do tend to be like, either you love pumpkin beer or you hate them. And even among like kind of like beer geeks who kind of take everything very seriously, a lot of beer people really love pumpkin beers, but the people who don't, oh my God, they won't shut up about how much they hate them.
Do you feel like you're kind of the people who like pumpkin beers are just people who are into seasonal beers in general. So it's the same thing with like the summer beers that are more citrusy, the winter beers, and like are kind of are people who are just more open to go with the evolution of the seasons, or is it something specific with pumpkin that people are either they're in or out with?
No, I think it's the latter. I think you love this stuff and are way into it, or I mean, I think I also think that sometimes it's not really necessarily beer people who are into these, this might be one of the few beers that you drink in like all year, basically. I don't have any like evidence of that, but I suspect that's the case.
Got it. Okay. So how popular are they? And like, how much is it something that is as popular and as pined over as like the pumpkin spice latte?
I mean, obviously it's an alcoholic beverage, so it's a little bit different. But still, like, I think that they, you know, it's pretty easy to see, like, if you took a snapshot of a beer inventory at a bottle shop or a grocery store or something, you know, in 2015 or 2014 versus today and counted up all the pumpkin beers there, I bet it's at least like probably less than half of that kind of high watermark when everybody was kind of doing one. Some of the breweries that make some of the most popular pumpkin beers, it's like almost all they, I mean, it might be 50, 60, 70% of their overall volume every year. So that's really, I think a lot of other brewers recognize that and said, hey, there's something going on here. We should try this and see if we can make a big splash. And that led to, almost every brewery, it seems like, doing one of these. And you know, it's like, that's not, that I don't think that's a reason that it crashed, but, you know, you just don't see, you see very, I don't know, I took a spin through my local bottle shop, Ray's, this week, and I saw maybe 10, which is, you know, and some of, maybe 10, maybe a dozen. And I feel like that's fine. Like that's appropriate.
That's enough.
It was really crowding out the Oktoberfest season, you know, because these two seasons really overlap as far mm-hmm. as fall, which of course really begins in like late July or August. The fall seasonal beers. I think we've talked about
when the Halloween decorations go out at Walgreens, and you're like, oh, it's still really hot, and I'm in shorts, but I guess fall is here.
Officially,
we're talking to Chris Drosner, who is the executive editor of Milwaukee Magazine and the author of the Beer Baron column for the Wisconsin State Journal. So I guess to close out the pumpkin beer conversation, because I do want to talk about mm-hmm. Milwaukee Magazine while we have you. What would you say for people who do like pumpkin beers of the Wisconsin breweries that make pumpkin beers, which ones would you recommend?
Yeah, we actually have quite a, I'm a bit of an agnostic on pumpkin beers. I don't love them. But I do enjoy one here or there, every fall. And I think that I would say the best one in the state is probably Point Brewery makes. They have a series of beers called Whole Hog. Let me not stumble on that phrase. It's called Whole Hog Pumpkin Ale. And this one is it's a little bit bigger. I think it's like 8% ABV. And that's a I feel like how much you kind of get into a beer. That determines its alcohol content, and the bigger ones tend to be a little bit richer and fuller flavor, which is kind of what you're going for with pumpkin beer.
Mm-hmm.
Whole Hog Pumpkin Ale has won like 2 gold medals, like at the best beer contest in America. So it's well done. It's nicely balanced, big. So definitely recommend that one. That one's probably at the front of the pack. Lakefront actually has 2 pumpkin beers every year. They do a pumpkin lager that's a little bit lighter, and it's interesting that it's a lager instead of an ale, but they also have pumpkin imperial ale, which is a really big beer aged in brandy barrels. So you get that kind of oaky vanilla, that complements the pumpkin spices really nicely, and there is pumpkin in both of those beers as well. And then one other one I'll mention, this one's another big daddy, called Pumpkin Spice Veneration from Three Sheeps Brewing in Sheboygan. And That one is it uses a Belgian quad as its base, and that's a really rich, intense, super malty, very complex beer on its own. And then they use, the pumpkin spice mix. It sounds like a Belgian quad is like a very traditional and kind of hallowed style. It's made by monks in Europe, you know. But putting pumpkin spice on it might seem a little sacrilegious, but it works so well. It's so complex and layered and rich, and it's a great.
You're selling this really hard. I feel like as someone who's not typically a pumpkin beer person, that one sounds pretty good.
And yeah, it's a gorgeous beer. And even though it's not really my jam, it is my jam. So that's a strong sign of a well-made beer.
And Chris, it's called Pumpkin Spice Veneration.
Veneration, yes. And from Three Sheeps Brewing in Sheboygan.
Veneration or Venner?
V as in Victor.
Veneration.
Oh, it is Veneration.
Yep.
Okay.
Veneration.
I would buy one just for that.
Just for the name?
Just for the name.
There you go.
Great respect, reverence.
Yes, for pumpkin spice.
All right. Well, moving on to the other job that you have beyond, talking about beer every month with us, talking about beer in your column. You also are an editor of a magazine. And yesterday... It was yesterday, right? That it was Milwaukee Magazine Day?
It sure was.
There you go.
Only in the city of Milwaukee, though.
Only, yeah. Yes. That would make sense.
We asked the mayor to do a proclamation and make it an official Milwaukee Magazine Day, celebrating our 40th anniversary. We had a little party out at the Brewers game, and it was great talking to readers, and I got to read the proclamation in a dramatic reading with all the whereases and stuff.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah.
So that was the first, was that the first one was yesterday?
The first ever Milwaukee Magazine Day. Oh yeah. Well, yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I
mean, so now is it an annual thing?
One back in like 1986 or something, but yeah, as far as we can tell, this is the first time we've done it.
So. All right. Well, that congratulations.
Thanks to Mayor Cavalier Johnson and his office for making that happen.
Well, and 40 years, that's quite an accomplishment.
Especially with magazines. Yeah. I mean, I feel like, magazines are so like so much of the media landscape that has changed quickly and needed to be nimble and evolve. Like to be, still be a magazine that is a printed magazine, that is a hard copy that you go buy, that people subscribe to, and you guys are still kicking. And like that is not an easy feat in today's day and age.
Yeah, we've been kind of reflecting on it. We had a big feature on our anniversary back in January. And I don't know, I'm just really, it's going to sound really cheesy, but I'm really proud of what we do with the magazine. You know, it's compelling and I mean, obviously I'm a little biased, but I enjoy reading our magazine and I hope everybody else does.
I mean, we do.
You can celebrate. It's not officially Milwaukee Magazine Day anymore, but you can always celebrate,
Well,
you can celebrate today.
We do. And I would say all my friends who to transition quickly, I know of enough of my friends that still subscribe and also still enjoy reading it, because that was how I found out, was through pictures of the magazine that the long shot new kid on the block won for Reader's Choice for favorite radio host, which I was not expecting. But that was a very nice surprise. And then I immediately texted you and goes, "You didn't want to tell me, man?"
I couldn't. It's under embargo. It's all a big secret thing. We have our best of Milwaukee feature every September, and the Reader's Choice poll is part of that. People were voting in I think May and June on that, and you beat out some pretty heavy hitters there. So
some who have won before, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
Oh well, yeah.
We kind of, it's funny. We mix up the categories every year. So it's not like, it's not like you probably will not be able to defend your title next year, but hey, I mean, it's a big deal. And And I think it's something to be really proud of.
It is. I am incredibly proud of it. I am incredibly proud of it. It was the imposter syndrome in me kept trying to find reasons like, well, you know, I don't know. Like, I asked people on social media and Mark Belling probably didn't. And he just probably doesn't even know how to use social media. No, I'm joking. But no, I am very happy. I'm very grateful that I was even nominated in the first place. And I'm very grateful that to everyone who voted and that it is I can put that on my metaphorical mantle.
There you go. It's very exciting. It really is. Really is.
I'll have to make up I'll have to make up like a physical award for you somehow.
Perfect.
It might be really lame and kind of like.
That's even better, Chris.
Get your craft on, Chris.
Yeah. Lame is even better.
Get my craft going here.
All right. Well, Chris Drosser, it is always so much fun to have you on the show. I will see you when I get back from maternity leave because we're this will be the last time for a little bit that we have you on, but. Always great to have you. Go get the most recent article issue of Milwaukee Magazine. Maybe try out some of that pumpkin beer. But Chris Drosner, I hope you have a great day.
Thanks, Kristen.
Have a great day. All right, we'll be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And Jane, did you miss three headlines and a lie?
I did.
Did you? Do you want to do it?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, I was ready to punt it. I don't think Greg liked it as much.
No.
Well, he was either feigning that he didn't like it because he doesn't like being wrong. Oh, or he's just playing along that character, or I think he just didn't really like it.
I have no problem with being wrong.
All right. Let's play it then, because we haven't played it in like 3 weeks.
All right.
All right. As always, three of these headlines are real, one is fake, and Jane has to pick which one is the fake one.
See if I can get the structure correct this time.
All right. Number one, Lauren Boebert escorted out of Beetlejuice musical after allegedly vaping, recording on her phone.
I know that's true.
I know that's true, too.
And the detail that I saw last night, or it might have been this morning, she was vaping next to a pregnant woman.
Oh my gosh.
Who complained. And at one point, she called her, Boebert called her a pathetic human being or something like that. And there's also footage of her being escorted out of
that,
the theater.
Yeah.
The dress that she was wearing? Girl, you need some infrastructure.
Yes. Venue officials say the Republican congresswoman was causing a disturbance during the performance by vaping, singing, and recording from the audience.
What a lovely person.
Boebert's campaign denies the vaping allegation.
Oh, okay. But everything else is accurate.
All right. So now you're down to...
My odds are better.
Odds are better. Three options.
Excellent.
All right. Number two. SEC files charges against NFT project, quote, Stoner Cats... starring Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis, and more.
Hmm.
So I'll read that again because it's a little confused.
Yes.
SEC files charges against NFT project called Stoner Cats, which stars Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis, and more.
All right. And SEC is the Securities and Exchange Commission.
Yes. All right.
Okay.
Number three. New AirPods Max will alert you when you need to clean wax out of your ears. That's a pretty good one. If it's not real, I wish it would be.
It should be. That is a valuable service that I think I like that one.
All right. And then number four, Sony will repair aging Aibo robot dogs to help them find their forever homes.
I'm confused. Read it again.
I'm also confused. Sony will repair aging Aibo robot dogs to help find them forever homes. So that's the name. The name is capital A-I-B-O. So Aibo robot dogs. So Sony will repair aging Aibo robot dogs to help them find their forever home. So your options are SEC files charges against NFT project Stoner Cats starring Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis, and more. Number three, new AirPod Max will alert you when you need to clean wax out of your ears.
So good.
I like that. Yeah. Max and wax also rhymes. Sony will repair aging Aibo robot dogs to help them find their forever home.
I don't care if I have this correct or not, but I'm going with the earwax earphones.
Being fake?
Being fake.
It is fake.
It is.
It is.
See, I knew it was too good to be true.
Too good to be true. Yeah. If we have the technology for an aging Aibo robot dog, you'd think we'd have the technology to have AirPods tell you when to clean your ears.
Can we have priorities, please? Just prioritize a couple of things.
So there's probably recommendations anyways. Like when your AirPods start looking dirty, since they're white, that's probably your sign.
But
clean them and your ears.
But that's not, I wish that were true, but that's not necessarily true because the earwax buildup
is further
can
in.
Can be much further in.
But you're also not supposed to use Q-tips.
I know.
So and what are you supposed, you're supposed to get those like drips, drops that, there's those drip drops that dissolve the wax in your ear. Is that the best and healthiest way to clean your
or
ears?
Or you go to the doctor and they flush it out
How
for you.
How much does that cost?
I don't know.
Does insurance cover it?
Probably not. No. If it's actually practical, why would they cover it?
If you have suggestions on the healthiest way to clean your ears besides sticking a Q-tip down there, 844-967-2789. I would love, I've yet to be told how you're actually supposed to clean your ears.
I mean, what do you do with babies?
I don't know. I should probably find that out.
You should probably find that out.
Along with my CPR class. I did get one of my baby shower gifts was this like Frida nose sucker, which one of our callers actually once called in and recommended.
Said it's useful.
And said it's very useful. Oh, I should probably preview that. So long as baby, and we'll come back because you still have to. Oh, you won. Never mind. You won. Preview for next, not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow. So long as baby doesn't come early.
Right.
Which Jane.
She's not going to do.
Exactly. We're going to do the same thing we did right before I got married. My husband, Michael Sampson, is going to join for the show on September 22nd. And we're going to take your, it's not unsolicited because we're asking for it.
Yep.
We're
going to
take your,
bring it on.
Your solicited best parenting advice on Friday, September 22nd, my last day of the show.
A
week from tomorrow. We did this right before we got married. A year ago, August 19th. I think it was literally the day before we got married. We would love to hear your parenting advice, even if it's for babies or whether or not they're older. Love to hear from you. He and I will have some conversation on the things we're most excited or nervous about. But we had that realization the other week, and I was like, not this weekend, but next weekend. We're like, this is the last weekend we have where it's just us.
The two of you.
Forever.
And Cliffy.
Yep. And Cliffy. I don't know if Cliffy's ready. I don't really know if he gets it or not.
Cliffy's pretty old.
I think he's going to be good with it, though.
I think so, too.
He's very good with kids.
Yeah. I think he's going to be great.
All right. Well, today was fun. It was a little, we have, like we said, we're still.
Got some new things going on back here.
We got new technology, but I would say I think I sound incredible.
I agree.
The clarity.
I agree.
It's like I'm in the room with you.
I know. And I can actually sort of I can hear myself.
Which is great.
It's a useful thing. Yes.
So we want to thank Dr. Kristen Lierley, as always, for being here on Thursdays with us and hopes that she has a safe flight to Arizona. Thank you, Chris Drosner. Thank you to everyone who called in and texted in. I know we didn't get to everyone's texts. I'm sure there will probably be a new chapter of the saga tomorrow
no doubt.
We can weigh in on of what's happening in Madison between the impeachment, nonpartisan redistricting. I'll let you know whether or not I decide to respond to Rick Essenberg. So come back tomorrow again at 10 a.m. and we will do this all over again. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
No deception, not a biggest fake. That much is true.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. The scene, Wayne, Michigan, a Ford plant.
one of three operated by Detroit's big three car makers, where partial strikes are now underway. Stephanie Smith works at GM, thinks her salary should increase.
When we have our utility bills that are going up and, you know, our car insurance and everything else is going up, then yes, it should go up with that.
General Motors Chief Executive Mary Barra.
We've worked days, nights, and weekends and have made numerous proposals. We are and have been consistently bargaining in good faith, with urgency, to reach an agreement.
Correspondent Chris Van Cleve.
This is historic because it's the first time the United Auto Workers have struck all three of the big Detroit automakers simultaneously. They are trying to target specific plants. They say that they'll expand the strike beyond that.
On the Weather Watch, parts of New England have been hammered for days now by heavy rain, flooding, sinkholes, and tornadoes, and that was before the arrival of approaching Hurricane Lee. Chris Warren at the Weather Channel.
Tropical storm conditions are expected up and down the New England coast, even though